4 years ago, we all went off the cliff.
America is in a crisis today.
Financial bubble became a financial whirlwind.
The economy continues to face numerous difficulties.
A systemic lack of skepticism.
Nothing is done. This recession could linger for years.
And in an attempt to control it, billions of dollars, maybe trillions of dollars of wealth vanished in an instant.
This is going to go from bad to worse.
Loaning money of any kind became the equivalent of burning it in a stove, and the entire credit system, which fuels every transaction, from the payment of workers to the movement of soybeans and Apple iPhones, nearly came to a complete screeching halt. When the music stopped, you might say, nearly 9 million jobs were gone, perhaps 12 million by some estimates. 4 years later, we're recovering enough for President Obama to have kept his job in the White House, but few people feel recovered. What happened? What really happened? That history is starting to be told beyond the story of crazy traders, Ponzi schemers, and bad bet bankers. We turn this morning to the economist and writer and former official at the Federal Reserve whose book title we just ripped off, a guy aptly named Blinder, to chronicle why so many didn't see this cliff coming, Professor Alan Blinder. Alan is one of the world's most respected economists. He's the former vice chair of the Federal Reserve Board, now a professor at Princeton, and author of After the Music Stopped, The Financial Crisis, The Response, and the Work Ahead. Welcome to the program, Professor.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
So you, in the beginning, describe what happened in a way that is almost a combat flashback for many of us who covered this story over and over, and I suspect even to you who are at the Fed, you know, watching it happen. How does the kind of risk accumulate in the system that exploded so catastrophically back in 2007, 2008?
Well, you know, I think there are a number of answers, but probably the biggest one is that when the world, the lending world, and in particular in this case it was the mortgage lending world, but lending more generally, looks safe because recent performance has been so good and mortgage defaults before the bust were really, really low, people forget the past and they forget that loans do sometimes go bad, mortgages go bad, securities go bad. And they extrapolate much too much from recent experience, which prior to the bust was very good.
How do you go from, and it seemed as though in 2007 and 2008, this is what happened. We went from a sense that nothing is worthless to once Lehman Brothers failed, everything is worthless or might be.
Yeah, I think the part of the reason for that is a lack of transparency in a lot of these securities that were built on mortgages. A mortgage is something relatively simple, although, frankly, some of them got much too complex for our own good. But if you think about the mountain, or I like to call it the inverted pyramid because it kept getting bigger as you moved away, of securities and derivatives that were built on these mortgages, largely the subprime mortgages, they were terribly complex. Many of the investment banks themselves and the banks that were dealing in them didn't really understand them very well. And really, most of the investors. You had treasurers and hamlets in Norway and Italian pension funds and things like that buying these securities without really knowing what they were buying.
And when Hamlet starts buying, boy, that's the time to get out of the market. So a smart idea, the Troubled Asset Relief Program, the TARP, which rescued the banks. Dumb idea, not bailing out Lehman Brothers, yes?
I think so. That's my judgment. You know, others will have different judgments. But the TARP in particular is much maligned in Washington these days. If you say that's like the TARP, that's damnation. Americans have misconceptions that we spent hundreds of billions of dollars on bankers that didn't deserve it. Now, they didn't deserve it, but we didn't spend hundreds of billions. In fact, the part of the TARP that was aimed at the financial institutions turned a profit for the taxpayers, but that's not realized. I think the Lehman part is better understood at a 10,000-foot level because it was so visible. I mean, when Lehman was allowed to go under, the whole economy started collapsing within days.
Because everyone assumed if Lehman can go, then everything is suspect. And that produced the panic. And the panic produced so much of what we're experiencing even now.
That's right. I mean, financial systems are fundamentally based on trust. I mean, you lend some money, you expect to get it back. There's a promise date at which you're getting paid. And if you start worrying about your counterparty, people pull back. And what you had in 2008 was an apparent inconsistency between the way Bear Stearns had been handled in March of that year.
They were bailed out.
Shotgun marriage.
Right.
Yes. Not allowed to fail is the important part. And then Lehman coming down the pike at twice the size and in a somewhat similar business, but not identical, but double the size, and yet they were allowed to fail. That was a big shock.
Finally, you know, one of the great values of this book, I think you make a lot of comparisons to the Depression in the 30s. In the Depression in the 30s, fiscally, maybe it wasn't so smart what was done in the 30s. It was really only World War II that kind of bailed out the economy back in the 30s. But one thing the president did do was rally the Americans to feel better and to get with the program and to really improve morale, which did have an impact on the economy. What we've gotten is a very smart economic approach to a financial catastrophe this time around, but none of the morale building.
I'm afraid that's right. You know, I have to admit, I was hoping that President Obama, when he came in, would kind of do fireside chats of the Rooseveltian nature, because the American people needed a lot of explanation. They needed hand-holding. They needed to know that they weren't heading south, as happened in the 1930s. And neither President Bush in his closing months nor President Obama really said very much. I mean, they did say something. It wasn't like they were completely mum. But given the magnitude of the crisis, they weren't saying that much.
Well, in economic terms, this is a great roadmap for what happened and where we go from here. Alan Blinder is the former vice chair of the Federal Reserve Board, professor at Princeton. His book is called After the Music Stopped, The Financial Crisis, The Response, and the Work Ahead. Thanks so much, Professor.
Well, thank you. It's a pleasure.
On Notes from America, we have conversations with people across the country about how we can truly become the nation that we claim to be. Each week, we talk about race, our politics, education, relationships, usually all of them, because everything's connected. And you, our listeners, are at the center of those conversations. I'm Kai Wright. Join me on Notes from America, wherever you get your podcasts.